This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, June 29, 2022, The Solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Who do you say that I am? May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, for Lord, our strength and our remnant, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You didn't have to be here Sunday, but Sunday, if you were here, I pointed out the fact that the people in the world do not think, act, talk like us, or do they understand us. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we understand as we do, that we believe as we do. It is nothing that we've figured out on our own. This is the reality of our faith. Our Lord Jesus kind of drives this point home when he says, who do men say that I am? I always say, pay strict attention to the wording of Scripture, word order, the words used, because the Holy Spirit does nothing by accident or by happenstance. He asked, who do men say that I am? And this drives the point home. Like I said, you didn't have to be here Sunday to get what I'm going to say, but there is a marked difference between us and them. Who do men say that I am? The people out there, who do they say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Our Lord Jesus Christ is pointing out that we are different than they are. It is nothing that we, again, have figured out on our own, just like St. Peter. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. We're sitting in here today because the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed something to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And now we have to answer the same question, who do you say that I am? And the homily tonight isn't about Jesus, it's about how we progress in that faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord looks at Simon Peter and says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you, my disciples, say that I am? He's looking at men who are in progress, and it doesn't stop until they're dead, just like us. The progress never stops. We look at this, Peter, the progress that he, St. Paul, who we always join them together, the progress that these men made in their faith, this isn't a matter of switch flipping. As I always say, it's not a matter of they woke up one morning and they got it all. Neither one of them was like that. Peter was a fisherman. He's a blue-collar worker. He doesn't know the law, you know, aside from what you hear in synagogue. And he was a faithful man. He wasn't a theologian. St. Paul was a theologian. He was a theologian. He had learned under the feet of the best, Gamaliel. And as he progresses through life, he realizes, man, I was a theologian. I didn't get it. Okay? He was so zealous for the cause of what he believed cognitively as opposed to what the Holy Spirit wanted him to believe. And then he learns through progress, experience in this life. Things that these men experience deepen their faith. And I don't mean the religious experience like St. Paul having a vision of our Lord Jesus Christ and being taken up to the third heaven before he died. This is what we're talking about experience. I'm talking about experiences in this world. Experiences in this world drive us deeper into our faith if we cooperate with the graces that the Holy Spirit has given us and allow this to happen. We look at the experiences of our life and we see a deepening of faith. There are many people in this parish, many, like to the tune of well over half of them, that are converts to the Catholic Church. To be converted to the Catholic Church from faith, they could have been just happy as the day is long for the rest of their lives in their faith group, but no. Why the change? Why putting your family at odds and tensions that you have with your friends that you're going to make that move? The Holy Spirit. in the experience that you have, a lot those converts, I've worked with the vast majority of them. Their experiences in this life are something that their experiences made them what they are today. That's what I always tell folks that come in from that realm. As a Catholic, you will not be asked to give up or to stop believing one thing that you believe now, not one thing. We will be asked to believe more. A lot of people, what do you mean believe more? You believe in two sacraments, right? Lord's Supper, baptism? Yeah. We're going to ask you to believe in seven. That's five more. We're just asking you to increase the faith, and you do that through experience. I didn't believe that before. Well, here, let me tell you why you should believe that. It's experience. It's experience in the world. It's experience in that the two that you knew about before, you have that well-grounded, that's a foundation, and you build upon it. Even every one of us is Catholics. Folks that aren't Catholic, that weren't Catholics here, the converts, I would say a good 90% of the Catholics that are here have grown very much in their faith through their Catholic. They can be cradle Catholics. Catholic for 50, 60 years. I mean, I hear it all the time. Been a Catholic for 55 years. I never heard that before. Oh, well. It's nothing that you did wrong. You just were, and then somehow you experienced something to draw you deeper into the faith. And the necessity of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The take up your cross daily and follow me. Not take up your cross daily and look at me. Not take up your cross daily and hear what I say. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Move toward me. Ever moving toward me. This is the experience of life. This is St. Peter and Paul. This is just what these men taught us. Okay, which is huge and very important. What they taught us, that apostolic faith. You know, everybody likes that part. They should. The Apostles' Creed. One holy Catholic and apostolic church. That's what that apostolic part means. Believing what Saints Peter and Paul and all the apostles have passed down to us. But never losing sight of the fact that those things that we know in our head are really kind of driven home by the experiences of life. And it was no different with St. Peter and Paul. St. Paul, the man's a theologian. The man, he knows the scriptures inside and out. He can recite them to you. He has them memorized. He's got it all going on, and he doesn't really get what God's plan is. He knew the prophecies, and he didn't see them when the one came to fulfill those prophecies. Not only did he see them, he persecuted those who did. He arrested. He stood around and watched them killed. He consented to their deaths. The man murdered Christians. He had all this head knowledge, but he didn't apply it properly. What had to happen to him? An experience. You know, for him, it was that mystical road to Damascus kind of thing. But even then, I'm just going to give you some new facts here, St. Paul, although he did receive some new facts about Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ was not a crazy rabbi that went off the rails, and it was a good thing that he was crucified. He didn't go there. He learned through this experience that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and to prove that, it's like after his conversion, immediately after his conversion, I mean, he's still blind. It's been just a couple days, blind, he's being led around, and our Lord appears to Ananias, hey, go baptize Paul. And after the little discourse about, Lord, don't you know what he's done to your church? Thank you, Ananias. He doesn't just leave it with that. He says, no, go and baptize him. Do what I said, Ananias. Go baptize him and tell him what he must suffer for my sake. What he must experience as he grows in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How he can move throughout his ministry. I mean, after all the good stuff happened, he moves throughout his ministry, and then all of a sudden he reaches a point where he realizes, oh man, I didn't have it going on. And not only did I not have it going on, I'm still struggling. Hence his remark, I do the things I know I shouldn't do, and I don't do the things I know I should do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Okay, he realizes this, but then as he progresses in faith and he experiences life,
and he experiences sufferings for our Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees our Lord and his grace get him through these things, he can write to Timothy right before he's executed, knowing it's going to happen, and say, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I am about to be poured out like a drink offering. His blood is going to be spilled. He knows that. He goes, then I will be receiving the crown that the Lord has prepared for me since the foundation of the world. That's what experience with our Lord has to do. That's what it does. It makes us grow in the faith. St. Peter with the same exact thing. Again, the man's a fisherman. He's a fisherman. He's a laborer. Got the fishing business going on, which the couple times we hear about him actually engaged in that trade, he's not doing so well. Did you catch anything?
No.
That happens a couple times. Remember, we're not talking angling like with a rod and reel. The guy's throwing nets out, not catching any fish. So he was a fisherman, but all indications are he wasn't the perfect fisherman. Our Lord nurtures Peter along in his faith. Our Lord lets him know that he doesn't know all the facts. Hey, the Son of Man's got to go to Jerusalem, be turned over to sinners and crucified, third day rising. Oh, God forbid that we would turn you into, I will die for you. And everything. Okay, Mr. Denier, I'll die for you. Yeah, so you think. But then he experiences the little girl say, he was with them? No. You know, he's going to curse her? Okay, that's an experience in life that taught Peter a boatload. Then after our Lord's resurrected, do you love me, Simon Barjona? You know I love you. Three times he gets it. Lord, you know I love you. Know all things. Feed my sheep. Okay, he still didn't get it. But even after our Lord's ascension into heaven and Peter receives the Holy Spirit, does miracles and everything like that, he starts to backslide a little bit with the whole Judaism thing. You know, he doesn't eat with, you know, when the Jews are around, he doesn't eat with Gentiles. You know, St. Paul, through his experience, he's learned, and he confronts St. Peter to his face. Actually says it condemns him to his face. So they have an experience with one another. That's an experience that will do you some good when somebody confronts you with your wrong. Okay, even if you're the first pope. Okay, so if the first pope can be confronted with a mistake, I think that any subsequent popes that might make a mistake could be confronted with them also. We have scriptural warrant for it. It's part of the experiences of life that each one and every one of us go through, whether you're a new convert or the pope. We're all experiencing life. This whole idea of a faith that is progressing, a faith that is living. You know, what is St. Peter's response to our Lord's question? But who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why not just you are the Christ, the Son of God? Because the Romans had a bunch of gods. They're all dead idols. They're not real. They're not alive. They don't care about what's going on in the world. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is something that only the Holy Spirit says. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in each and every one of our lives as we experience life. As we experience the vicissitudes of life, whether they be good or they be bad, we should learn something from them. And if we do the proper thing, we look at them through the lenses of the Holy Spirit, and we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the experience may be. And it's kind of difficult, but those experiences that we consider from a temporal state bad are actually experiences that mean a whole lot to not only us, but to others around us. They see you dealing with things in this world, losses, sickness, you know, what name your poison. They see you going through these things and you still maintain your faith. What a witness that is. This is the living experience that is our faith. So, when we live this life and we progress through it, we bear witness to Christ. We bear witness to Christ in this world through all its ups and downs. And then at the end of it, he bears witness to us, just like he did to Simon Peter. So who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I say to you, Simon Barjona, blessed are you because the Holy Spirit revealed this to you. This is the reality of our faith. We, through the experience of this life, bear witness to Christ. If we're doing it correctly, we bear witness to him. And then when we get there and his bearing witness to us will be, well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom of heaven that has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. This is the reality of progressing in our faith. This is the reality of what St. Peter and Paul lived. And on this day when we venerate them, it is something that we have to understand that we are in the midst of it. Those men had very hard, arduous lives that from a worldly standpoint were, let us just say, not something to be desired. And both of them have one of the solemnities of the church, not just a feast day, a solemnity of the church dedicated to them because they suffered such. If I can just swing that whole well done, good and faithful servant thing, I'll be happy. This is the reality of the progress that we make in experiencing our faith in this world. And it means a lot in advancing the kingdom of God also. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.